readings this morning because the section we're reading in the purport is about smaranam. And the theme of this bhajan, ajastra smara smarare, oh, just remember, always remember. My dear mind, how foolish you are. Oh, just worship the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna in the forest of Vraj. Oh, without such worship, there is no means of spiritual advancement. Just worship the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna in the forest of Raja. Oh, giving up all speculative knowledge and materialistic activities. Just worship Gaura, Gadadhar, Advaita, and Lord Nityananda, the original spiritual master. Oh, knowing Lord Gaura and Lord Krishna to be the same. Oh, knowing the spiritual master to be very dear to Krishna. Just remember the dear associates of Lord Chaitanya, namely Srivas Thakur, Haridas Thakur, Murari Gupta, and Mukunda Datto. Oh, in deep love for Lord Gaura, you should remember, just remember. Just remember the two great personalities, Srivas Thakur and Haridas Thakur. Just remember Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatan, Jiva, and the two Raghunas. Oh, if you are engaged in worship of Lord Krishna, just remember the two great souls, Sri Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Just remember Raghava Pandit, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and the Ramananda Roy. Oh, if you really seek love of Krishna, just remember Swarup Damodar Goswami and the Ramananda Roy. Just remember Srila Kavi Karnapur and all his family members, especially his father, Shivananda Sen. Oh, always remember, Ajastra Smara Smarare. Sri Kavi Karnapur and his family, just remember all the sadhus who follow the path of Sri Rupa Goswami and who are absorbed in the ecstasy of bhajan. Oh, if you actually want residence in the land of Raja, just remember the sadhus who are followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. How many kartalas? Can you move up close? The kartals move up close. Bajare, bajare ama, manati manda. Bajare, bajare ama, manati manda. Bhajan vina gati nahi re. Bhaja braja mane Radha Krishna Charanaravinda. Bhaja braja mane Bhaja braja mane Radha Krishna Charanaravinda. Bhaja Jnana Karma Pariharire. Bhaja Braja Bane Radha Krishna. Bhaja Gaura Gara Dhara Dvaita Guru Nityananda. Bhaja Bhaja Gaura Gara Dhara Dvaita Guru Nityananda. Gaura Krishna Vida Jaine Re. Guru Krishna Prishta Jene Re. Smara Srinivas Haridas Murari Mukunda Smara. Smara Srinivas Haridas Murari Mukundas. Gaura Premi Smara Smara Re Smara Srinivas Haridase Smara Smara Rupasana Tana Jiva Raghunatha Dvandva Smara Smara Rupasana Tana Jiva Raghunatha Dvandva Smara Krishna Bhajan Jari Kordere Rupa Sanatani Smara Smara Raghava Gopala Bhatta Swarup Ramananda Smara Smara Raghava Gopala Bhatta Swarup Ramananda Krishna Prema Jari Chaure Swarup Ramanande Smara Smara Goshti Saha Karna Pura Saint Shivananda Smara Goshti Saha Smara Goshti Saha Karna Pura Saint Shivananda Smara Ajastra Smara Smara Re Oh, remember, always remember. Ajastra Smara Smara Re Goshti Sahakarna Pure Smara Rupanuga Sadhu Jana Bhajanananda Smara Bhaje Bhaschari Chaore Rupanuga Sadhu Smara Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ajastra Smara Smara Re Ajastra Smara Smara
Ajashra smara smara re. Jai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Jai Gaur Hari Bol.
Ajastra smara smarare. Oh, just remember, always remember. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya. Naram chaiva nirottamam. Devim sarasatim vyasam. Tato jayamudiraye. We're continuing with our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7. Chapter 5, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Shri Parada Uvacha, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno, Smaranam Padasevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakyamatma Nivedanam, Iti Pumsarpita Vishnao Bhaktishchen Navalakshana Kriyeta Bhagavatyadha Tanvanyedhitam Uttamam. Continuing in the purport. Smaranam. It's on page 254. Smaranam. After one regularly performs the process of hearing and chanting, and after the core of one's heart is cleansed, smaranam, remembering, is recommended. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.11, Shukadeva Goswami tells King Parikshit, Etan yirvidyamananam vichatam akutobhayam Yoginam nripaninanitang harirnamanukirtanam. O King, for great yogis who have completely renounced all material connections, and for those who desire all material enjoyment, and for those who are self-satisfied, by dint of transcendental knowledge, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord is recommended. What's recommended? Okay. According to different relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are varieties of nama anukirtanam, chanting of the holy name, and thus according to different relationships and mellows, there are five kinds of remembering. These are as follows. A. Conducting research into the worship of a particular form of the Lord. B. Concentrating the mind on one subject and withdrawing the mind's activities of thinking, feeling, and willing from all other subjects. C. Concentrating upon a particular form of the Lord. This is called meditation. D. Concentrating one's mind continuously on the form of the Lord. This is called dhruvanusmriti, or perfect meditation. And E. Awakening a likening for concentration on a particular form. This is called samadhi, or trance. Mental concentration upon particular pastimes of the Lord in particular circumstances is also called remembrance. Therefore, samadhi, trance, can be possible in five different ways in terms of one's relationship. Specifically, the trance of devotees on the stage of neutrality is called mental concentration. Oma jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun viditamdina tasmai shri gurave namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Ajastra Smara Smarare. We must, the mind has to be engaged, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Nahi kashchit shanamapi jatu tishchit karma krit, karyate hyavasha karma sarva prakriti jarugunai. No one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment, according to the modes of nature he has acquired. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada points out that even while we sleep, we're active. And that this verse in the Bhagavad Gita about our activity is not restricted to the bodily conception of life when we're under the modes of material nature, but in the spiritual world, there's activity. Sriya kanta kanta paramapurusha kalpataravo truma bhumish chintamani ganamai toyamamritam kataganam natyam gamanam apyabamshi priyasaki. There's dancing and singing in the spiritual world, full activity. And in the material world, Krishna says in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavata that the mind has fearsome godlike powers. And it is for the sake of this mind only that the soul has been kept in subjugation in the material world one birth after another. How long? That's if we took the bodies that we've had in previous lifetimes since a time immemorial and piled them up one atop another, they would block out the sun. That's just from one person. This rotation in the material world is caused by the mind. And therefore, the object of yoga, the yoga process, is first to make the mind one's friend. The mind can be the best friend or the worst enemy. And when the mind is attracted by the modes of material nature, the variety of the material world, then it's the worst enemy. Because, as Krishna says in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it is because of this attraction that we take on one body after another in attaining the supreme yang yang vapi spanan bhavan. Tajatyante kalevaram tam tam evaitikontiya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of consciousness we've attained, whatever we've put into our mind, into our heart, the chitta or the mind is sometimes is described as one entity, the mind, the heart, the consciousness itself. That will carry us to our next body without fail, whatever we think of at the time of death. And that's a cumulative effect of everything that I've come in contact with during my lifetime, all the association that I've had, all the activities that I've performed add up. The conglomerate becomes my state of consciousness at the time of death. Therefore, in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, during the description of controlling the mind, Krishna says, Prayana kale manasachalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva. Bruvor madye pranam avesha samyaksatam param purusham upaiti divyam. That prayanakali, when that time comes when we leave our body, that the mind, manasachalena, the mind must be achalena. It must be unflickering, unwavering, not jumping from one place to another, which is difficult because the bodily conception of life is, I'm used to it. And whatever I'm used to, that's what I'll think of at the time of death. Bruvor madye pranam avesha samyak. He says, the yogi must be able to fix the mind and the life airs between the two eyebrows. Sutam param purusham apaiti divyam. Yoga balena, prayana kale, manasa chalena, bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva. You have to have strength from yoga. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, this strength comes by practicing yoga throughout one's lifetime. That is, specifically fixing the mind. So the process for fixing the mind is described by the Vaishnavacharyas that one must hear and chant. As we've heard previously, and Tathavit Prabhu told me that the last shloka, which Prabhupada mentions in the last section of the purport yesterday, you are trying to find that shloka, and it's from the Namamrita by Rupa Goswami. It says, Nikila Shuti Mauri Ratnamala, Duti Nirajita Para Pankajanta, Aimukta Kaleru Pasimanam Paritasam Haninama Samshayami. And this relates to the topic at hand. Nikila Shuti Mauri Ratnamala, that the crown jewel of all the Vedas are vast, and they have a crown jewel. Those crown jewels are the Upanishads. And the Upanishads are shedding light. They're actually worshiping the tips of the toes of the lotus feet of the holy name. This is what Rupa Goswami says. Meaning that if you search the whole Vedas, all the Vedas, that their main purpose is to point us towards the chanting of Hare Krishna. And then he says, Ai mukta kaleru pasyamanam. Oh, how wonderful it is that all the liberated souls, they're chanting Hare Krishna. They're chanting the holy names of God. Paritastam harinam samshrayami. Therefore, I take shelter there. And the process of smaranam, of remembering, of course, we remember in this lifetime many things. In fact, some people remember their last life. There's a research that goes on at the University of Virginia. It's a department funded by the Xerox Corporation because the head of the Xerox Corporation was very interested and captivated by reincarnation. Therefore, he funded the opening of a department there about reincarnation. And after years of study, the heads of that department have documented 2,500 cases of children. This is scientific research. He's not carried away by any emotional feelings or leanings towards reincarnation or anything else. Have discovered that these children are born in their first year and a half. When they begin to speak, they start talking about their previous family. They sit up at the table one day and say, "You're not my mother. I have another mother somewhere else." And they start telling about where their family was, what kind of building they lived in, how they died, and so forth. These things are all documented and have been researched very carefully. The point is that there is a memory. Everyone has a memory because the body is porous and it takes in all kinds of information from the environment. In fact, one day when I was walking in my neighborhood, I saw the storm drains. I live near the San Francisco Bay. Not that near, but near enough so that on all the storm drains in my neighborhood and for miles around, there's a placard that says, "No dumping, drains to bay." And I thought about that, how if you just drop a little chemical in that storm drain thinking it's just going to disappear somewhere, guess what? It ends up in the San Francisco Bay, and it accumulates there. So then I thought about that for some time, and I wrote a little piece about no dumping drains to bay, and I was envisioning how each one of these ears is like a storm drain. And whatever you allow in, it goes into the bay of your heart. And then you become motivated in a certain way. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sarasat yoni janmasu. You're impelled to act, think, eat, be motivated in a certain way because of what you allow to go in your ear and end up in your heart. Because the heart is the driver. The legs are the chariot, Ramananda Roy said, but the heart is the driver. And that's actually the meaning of Shraddha. Shraddha means does, an active verb. It means where you place something, and Shradh means your heart. So what you put your heart into, that's where you're going to go. And you become motivated by the sound vibration that you hear. Anyad eva hura sambhavat, anyad ahura sambhavat, iti shushumat hiranam yenas tadvich chakshide. Srila Upanishad says that one result is obtained by worshipping the supreme cause of all causes, and a completely different result is obtained by worshipping that which is not supreme. That means that there's two different kinds of sound vibration in this world, material and spiritual. And if you expose yourself to material sound vibration, then you'll, what? What do you do? Bana, what will you do? What will happen to me? And what will that meditation make me do? I want to go to the duty-free shop and buy something. All they have in the duty-free shops nowadays is liquor, cigarettes, perfume, few watches. All the stuff you got to have. But everyone's buying them, obviously. I mean, you hear about it, you think that I have to have some bourbon. But logic says otherwise. Never ingest something that you can ignite. But still, the conditioned soul hears so many things in the forest of material enjoyment and becomes motivated. Why? Because it goes into the storm drain, into the heart. So this is a kind of remembrance. And I brought up previous life remembrances because it's so profound. It carries us to the next life, and we become motivated by that even in the next life. Sometimes people say, well, what's the good of karma if you can't remember your past life? What is the value of that? Isn't it just some kind of cruel punishment? But actually, psychologists say, and I know this because I talked to one, Vishnu Gadaprabhu in Philadelphia, and he was telling me that there are different categories of remembrance according to psychology. There's procedural remembrance, like when you learn to ride a bike, it becomes visceral. It's actually in your system. You don't possibly, you may not remember the exact stages you took to learn to ride a bike, but it's in your muscle memory. If you sit on a bike, you'll just ride it. That's a kind of memory. And there are other kinds of memory, emotional kinds of memory, and memories according to context. And therefore, sometimes children in their next life, they are afraid of the milkman because, you know, he murdered the family or something like that. Actually, that was a documented case. And some people are afraid of heights. These kinds of memories become embedded in our heart, in our overall mental system. We become what we hear about and what we associate, what we think about. And therefore, the process of spiritual life means to transcendentalize the mind. And this is altogether possible, although I have prarabdha, means I have prarabdha karma. It means fully manifest karma in the fact that I've gotten the fruit right now in the form of this body and mind and senses. Shotram chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam granam evacha adishtayam manaschayam vishayam upasevate. Because of my past remembrances, in this lifetime I am accommodated with a certain kind of senses, and they're all grouped about the mind, who runs the whole show. And then that is material, and it has to be spiritualized. Therefore, there's a process for spiritualizing the mind, and when the mind becomes spiritualized, it becomes the seat of remembrance of Krishna, and it's a step-by-step process. And in our line, our entire process is based on kirtan, shravanam kirtanam. By proper hearing and chanting, then gradually the mind and senses become transcendentalized, and the remembrance is a supplication of the spiritual mind. Supplication. Sub means below, and it means to from a lowly position to call out and to remember. And that's not possible when there's contamination in the mind. It's very difficult. So the step-by-step process is mentioned in the Shastra, that one begins through association with devotees. There has to be some faith originally that grows up because of unknown association with devotees. Somehow or other, one comes in contact with the holy name or with sadhus, and then gets some spiritual capital. There's a bank account in everyone's heart, and every time we come in contact with devotional service, we get some spiritual capital. That gives us faith, or shraddha. That's why some people think devotional service is a good idea, and other people don't, because some people have shraddha. And then there's sadhu sangha, which means when we want something, we go and associate with people who have it. And then through sadhu sangha, we begin bhajana kriya, which means we begin the practice of devotional service. And when people come, we teach them chant Hare Krishna. And Rupa Goswami gives a description of this. Stat Krishna nama charitari sukirtananu. No, sitapta vidya pitopatapta rasanasyana rochikanu. Kintuavarad anudilam kalusaiva jushta swadvikramad bhavatitad garamulahantri. This is from the Nectar of Instruction. So Rupa Goswami describes in two verses what is the process and what is the perfection, and both actually are the same. The process of chanting Hare Krishna is the practice, and when we attain perfection, we also continue chanting Hare Krishna, but we're able to remember Krishna as we do it constantly. In the beginning, he says, we're afflicted, pita apta vidya, by avidya, ignorance. It's darkening my consciousness, so I can't see Krishna, I can't remember Krishna. And he compares it to being afflicted by jaundice. And when you have jaundice, you have too much bile in your system and everything tastes bitter. However, one of the curatives for jaundice is sugarcane juice. And you have to keep drinking it even though it tastes bitter. And as you keep drinking it, then your jaundice subsides and you can begin to taste the sweetness. And then the next verse says, Tanama rupa chaditari sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasanamanasi niyoja tishtan vraje tananu ragi chananugami kalam nayeda kilamityu padesha saram. That then the essence of all advice he gives is that you should organize your life around this principle of shravanam kirtanam, hearing and chanting. And by doing that, then there's a step-by-step process through which the mind becomes transcendentalized. Included in that bhajana kriya, Sanatan Goswami says to, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Sanatan Goswami, is the process of diksha, entering into the line of devotional service and surrendering to Krishna, atma samarpanam. So he says, diksha kali, bhakta kari, atma samarpan, she kali, krishna tari, kari atma sam. That at the time of diksha, initiation to a bona fide spiritual master, then Krishna accepts that person to be as good as himself. And according to one's surrender at the time of initiation, this is effective. And confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the body, the Prarabdha karma, which I was mentioning before and now I'm coming back to, actually becomes transformed, transcendentalized. The entire body, which now is material, it becomes a spiritual body, either when you're, even as the soul still lives in the body. Yannamadeya shravanadu kirtanat yat pravanat yat smanadi. Yat smananad api kuchit shvado pisadya savanaya kalpate kutak pataste bhagavanu darshanat. Kapila Dev's mother said this. And no, it's Shukadev Goswami. And this verse says that by the process of hearing and chanting the transcendental names, that one's body transforms and becomes a spiritual body. How do we know this? Because he says that even the body of a dog eater, and not someone who accidentally ate dog, it says a dog cooker. It means they were really into it. Their whole family, you know, had special pots for them and everything. It wasn't that there was some, you know, dog meat in a Twinkie they ate or something, which probably does have dog meat. But their dog cooker, they become fit for Vedic sacrifice. What to speak then, he says, that of somebody who's constantly remembering the Lord and applying his or her mind to the process of devotional service, what must that be like? And then, Aho bhattashwa pachato garyan yajiva grevartate namatubhyam te pusta paste juhuvus sasna arya Brahmanachur nama grananti yete, Devahuti, says, oh, how wonderful it is that even if someone vibrates the holy name with the tip of their tongue, then it is to be understood that they've performed all Vedic rituals and sacrifices. They've attained Brahminical status already in previous lives. To be able to say, Hare Krishna, everyone please say, Hare Krishna. Even with the tip of one's tongue, even if one's not repeating it regularly, if one can just say Hare Krishna, that person is known to have attained an exalted status, because it's not possible to utter the holy name of the Lord like that without. When the body becomes transcendentalized, the mind becomes transcendentalized, then one can go through these five processes of increasing remembrance of the Lord. It begins with smaranam, which means, sometimes it's called research, which means you're going and studying the topic. You go deeply into the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. You hear constantly. You go to the Bhagavad Gita class. You're listening. You're hearing. You're listening to your japa. And then comes dharana, which means that you become determined to keep bringing your mind back to the holy name. And then comes, what's the next stage? Dana dhyan. Dhyan means meditation. You're able to fix your mind for a certain amount of time. Actually, in the Yoga Sutras, it's explained that there are levels of meditation or smaranam where you can actually fix your mind for about 12 seconds on one subject. Just try it. Close your eyes. Think of Krishna for 12 seconds. Go. How did that work for you? Okay? Well, you're all smiling. It must have worked all right. And after that comes Dhruvanu Smriti, when the mind begins to run towards Krishna, like it's described, it's flowing like a river. In fact, this is the definition of bhakti. When one has attained bhakti that's not connected to the modes of material nature, this is described by Lord Kapiladeva to his mother Devahuti. He talks about three levels of devotional service in ignorance, passion, and goodness, which are afflicted by these modes. One's still practicing. But then he says, Madguna Shruti Matrena, Mai Sarva Guhashaye, Manogatim Avichina, Yata Gangam Basao Mudao. He says, when one becomes unafflicted by the three modes of material nature, the mind then, just after hearing about Krishna, runs after Krishna. Like the river Ganges flows to the ocean. Lakshanam Bhakti Yoga Sya Nirgunasa Hyudharitam. So this is the quality of devotional service unaffected by the three modes of material nature. So one takes the bhajana kriya, the process of... and then comes the last stage, which is samadhi. Samadhi means that one is completely absorbed, and in fact, one's not meditating on the object, but the object actually appears to that person. In other words, Krishna personally comes and is standing before the person in samadhi. So these different levels of remembrance, which are mentioned in the Shastra, are all available to those who apply themselves with alacrity to the process of hearing and chanting. Kirtana pravabe smanana swabhave. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj used to say that by applying yourself to kirtan, then naturally you'll come to the stage of smaran or remembrance. This is also, it's also required that one avoid offenses while chanting, because the quality of the holy name is as one is chanting, the quality of one's heart as one's chanting, the quality of one's sincerity is important. Anyway, those are a few remarks, and now I'll take any questions or comments. Tatvavit tu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayo guna guneshu vartanta iti matvanda sajite. That's his full name, by the way. We joined around the same time in San Francisco, and when we found out his name was Tatvavit, we used to call him Tatvavit tu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayo. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm a lawyer for the Twinkies company, Hostess Twinkies company, and you know, you said the Hostess Twinkies.
Can you
probably
prove that it doesn't have dog meat in it?
In this previous paragraph, just before the section on Smarnam that you read, there's a book mentioned, the book Namakomadi, and it's says it's recommended that if one is an offender at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava and so on, he should submit to the Vaishnava. I just wondered if you could tell us something about this book, Namakomadi.
Can't. Sorry. Another question? Yes. Here comes the microphone. What's that? What kind of questions? What kind of questions is a disciple supposed to ask Guruji before Diksha and after Diksha?
Choose right person.
Well, first of all, a disciple should have some understanding from Shastra. It means you should read Bhagavad Gita and understand what is a sthita prajna. That is, what is the qualification of somebody fixed in consciousness? You have to have some preliminary knowledge, otherwise you'll be cheated. Just like, if I go down to the diamond market here in Los Angeles, and I'm sure you have one somewhere, I'm not really up on my diamonds these days. There's a lot to know. You have to know about clarity. You have to know about size. And, you know, whether it's flawless and so on. There's a lot that goes into buying a diamond. And if I don't know and I simply take somebody's word for it, then I may not get what I'm looking for. So it's important to have some preliminary knowledge to understand what is a qualified person. And then one should ask questions related to any doubts one has within one's mind or heart, because we take help from our gurus by removing doubts. They're meant to remove the obstacles on our path. Therefore, it's important when chanting the holy name of the Lord according to Namacharya Haridas Thakur that along with the chanting of Hare Krishna, one should be taking regular shiksha about how to remove obstacles. So as one begins to chant Hare Krishna, one should approach a spiritual master and ask about those things that are blocking one's progress. And he or she should then remove those doubts one by one. That person should be qualified. As Prabhupada says, they should have, or she should have the spiritual paraphernalia to be able to remove the doubts of the disciple. So that's the most important thing.
Yeah, just a little bit more about, I heard that only pure devotee can see pure devotee. It means if I'm not
pure
devotee.
No, that's not necessarily true. Because the soul is an agent. According to the Vedanta Sutra, the soul is an agent. And what that means is that you have the capability of rising above the three modes of material nature. And the logic behind it is, the Vedanta Sutra says, all the shastras are written for the soul that's in the modes of material nature. Therefore, there must be a possibility that you can come out by reading them. Do you understand the logic? In other words, the point is, what is the use of all the scriptures if nobody can take advantage of them? In other words, if someone's in the modes of material nature and can't understand anything by taking help of the shastra, there's no point to having any shastra. So, Krishna is there within the heart. And you'll notice in the Bhagavad Gita, verse 10:10, Tesham satata yuktanam pajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. Krishna says that I'm there within the heart of every living entity, and someone who sincerely tries to worship me will be able to understand me by my mercy from within my heart. I'll illuminate. I'll give you an example. Gajendra was an elephant. Gajendra didn't know who he was praying to. He just knew he had a crocodile in his leg. And he needed help. And he had, from his previous life, this is another point from Smarnam, Prabhupada mentions this in the story of Gajendra, he practiced chanting some shlokas, some stotram in his last life. Next life he remembered it, even though he was in the body of an elephant. But my point here is, he was an elephant, he didn't know who God was. But he just spontaneous from his heart, he cried out, please help me. And he began to sing whatever prayers he could remember. Those came by Krishna's mercy. Sarvasya chaham hridi sani vishto matak smitir gyanam apovanam cha. Krishna gives remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness according to our sincerity. So the only actual ingredient that's necessary to understand things and to move forward in the beginning is sincerity. And if you have that sincerity of purpose, which is a great gift. It's the most valuable substance in the universe. If you can get one little drop, then everything can be solved because Krishna's there, attentive. That's another thing Gajendra says. You're never inattentive. You're never lazy. You're always watching me, waiting for me to turn my attention towards you. And as soon as there's a little bit of attention that the soul turns towards Krishna, then he immediately starts giving a plethora of help from inside and from without. So you can understand. Yes, Archita Prabhu.
Obviously, it's not a new question.
Your name, Shyam?
Yeah, a lot of new practitioners ask this question. And sometimes they're a little bit disappointed by the answer that I give. But it's directly tied to what you just said. go in front of the deities, especially we have such merciful deities here, Rukmini Dwarkadish, and tell them, I would like to be initiated, but I don't know who my spiritual master is. Please guide me. They will guide you. Krishna is not, like you said, he's not lazy, he's not asleep, he's waiting to give you direction. All he's looking for is that little spark of sincerity. So if you're not yet initiated and you're not sure who your guru is, go in front of the deities and pray sincerely. I know it's important. You say in the Bhagavad Gita, I must have a spiritual master. Please direct me to my guru. They will do that. That's what they're waiting for. They want that connection. Krishna doesn't want you to come directly. Prabhupada said, that's presumptuous. Don't jump over. You can't get Krishna directly. You have to go through the standard method, which is accepting a spiritual master. But if you don't know who that guru is, pray to the deities. Pray to Krishna. He will direct you. He's waiting for that.
That'll work. And, you know, Prabhupada mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that one who helps, you know, he says the Shiksha Guru usually becomes the Diksha Guru later on. Because what I notice is there's usually a relationship ahead of time where there's some feeling that this person really helped me. There's a kind of feeling like it's natural. Every pot has its lid. It's not an artificial thing. I've seen this myself, you know, since I started accepting disciples to give initiation. It's not such a mental thing. But there's sort of a natural arrangement. And this is what Shastra says. It's an arrangement by the internal energy of Krishna. And I've seen it. It's really true. You know, Krishna aligns living entities. And then, of course, there's our own... we have to exert ourselves. And if we're crying in our heart for guidance, it certainly will be there. In fact, that's the only purpose of human life. The human body is a special machine. It's a gift by material nature, and it's specifically for inquiring. And if you inquire, then your inquiries will be answered. That's the great mystery of having a human body. Atato brahma jignasa. That's the first aphorism in the Vedanta Sutra. If you just ask the right question, you'll get such an amazing answer, you wouldn't be able to believe it. Only problem is everyone's asking the wrong questions. Chudananda Swami said years ago, he was at Tirupati waiting in the long line, and there were some college students ahead of him having some kind of discussion about what they were going to ask from Balaji when they got up there. And one of them was saying, you know, I want to make $25,000 a year. This was back in the 70s. And you know, he interrupted them and said, listen, you're going to before the Lord of the universe? In Vaikuntha, the roads are paved with diamonds. And you're going to ask for a measly $25,000 a year? So they looked at each other and they thought it over for a minute. And he goes, all right, $50,000. Yes, Bana.
Thank you for a wonderful elucidation on the on this very important verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. And I just kind of wanted to add a small comment that you've just shown how is in such an important verse, some subject matter like Smarna, we could spend at least a week discussing it. There's so much information there, and thank you for pulling so many nice verses and illustrations from different places. My question is that in the portion of the Bhagavatam you read, it talked about the five kinds of remembering that come from different levels of maturity and chanting the holy name. And what I want to ask about is the bhajan that you picked out and we read. This seems to talk about another kind of smarana. It talks about remembering the different associates of the Lord and the devotees. And I wonder if you could just briefly touch upon the importance of that type of smarana.
Well, Yudhishthir said to Vidura, Bhavad vidha bhagavatas tirtha bhuta svayam vibho tirtha kurvanti tirthani svantakstena gadaprita. He looked at Vidura and he said, you are a holy place of pilgrimage personified because you carry the Lord within your heart. And this is where we find Krishna within the heart of the devotees. And when the four Kumaras came to Vaikuntha and there was some brouhaha going on outside because Jai and Vijay didn't let them in, then Lord Narayan came out And he began glorifying his devotees, and he said that the only reason, because first the four Kumaras glorified Lord Narayan, and then he said, the only reason I have any potency is because I take the dust from the feet of my devotees. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whenever he was approached by someone glorifying him, like Balabhacharya, he said, it's not me. Everything I know I learned from Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He began glorifying all his devotees. And so the Lord and his devotees are eternally connected. They're never separated. And the most dear object in this world of Krishna is his tadiya, which means his devotees. And therefore, it's recommended by Lord Shiva. Araranam sarvesham Vishnu araranam param tasmat paratanam devi tadiyanam samacharam. The best kind of worship of Krishna is to worship his devotees and remember his devotees. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is there's an astounding statement that those who worship Lord Vishnu may or may not be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. But those who worship the devotee of Lord Vishnu, no problem, they'll go back to Godhead. So there's a way in which the devotees are the, actually, because they carry love of God in their hearts, that's our object, we want love of God. They have that internal, they have a connection with the internal energy. So remembering the devotees is specifically mentioned in the third canto as being a bona fide process of remembering the Lord. I heard this bhajan once early in the morning walking around Govardhan Hill. I was just passing the Anior, in a little village of Anior, right after you come through, and you leave early. We leave early in the morning from the ashram, at the Bhaktivedanta ashram, to go on this Govardhan Parikram. It takes about an hour to walk down to Anior, right? Tushta? Something like that. And it was still dark, because we leave right after Mangal Artik. And way up ahead of me, I heard this devotee walking along, some local devotee, sadhu. And he was singing this song, and he had such emotion in his voice. I kept closer, and I was like walking right behind him to try to hear the sound of the bhajan, to pick up what it was. And I picked up a few words, and then I could track it down where the bhajan was. But it impressed me. It really impressed me, and I still remember the way I felt walking down that path. It was still warm because it was early in October. The ground was still warm, even though it was early in the morning. And I felt this kind of chill go up my back when I heard this singing of this devotee and remembering this song, Ajastra Smara Smara Re, he was singing. And our process of sadhana bhakti really is to stay in proximity to all these kinds of experiences that will remind us of Krishna. It's not mechanical, actually. Although, mechanically, we have to control our senses in the beginning in order to attain the mercy of the Lord. Raga dvesho vimuktaistu vishayan indrayaischaran atmavashara vidyatma prasada marigachati. You have to regulate the senses in the beginning. Follow the regulative principles of freedom. And then you can get the complete mercy of the Lord. But ours is not a mechanical process. It's not simply renunciation for renunciation's sake. All the austerities that we perform, everything we do, is to stay in close proximity to those things which stimulate our love for Krishna, because it's already there within the heart. It just needs to be reawakened. Nitya siddha Krishna prema satya kabu noi shravanadi shuddha chitte kare udoy. It's there eternally within the heart, and it awakens when we come in contact with devotees. And you hear so many times, like our godbrother Ramakeli Prabhu, who just passed away, such a great soul. He was such a great cook that I remember in Chicago, when anybody found out that he was cooking for that day, they'd make sure that they were near where the offering was coming off. He was such a great cook and so enthusiastic his whole life for preaching. And now I forgot my point about Ramakeli. What was I going to say, Bana? Totally went out of my head. See? Smarnam. So, yeah. Maybe next life, when I'm born, I'll wake up and I'll say, Mom, remember this devotee, Ramakeli. Proximity, yeah. Anyway, I'll probably remember right after I stop the class. But in any case, by being close to the devotees, then we're able to remember Krishna, because they're the dearest thing to Krishna in this world. Oh, I know, Ramakeli. He said that he was on the mental platform about whether to join Krishna consciousness or not. He had read the books and everything. And then he came to the Rath Yatra in Chicago in 1974, and Prabhupada was there. And he said he went there, he had one look, and he immediately said, okay, sign me up for everything. He just saw Prabhupada. He said, and he was completely in his whole life after he saw Prabhupada. So the greatest stimuli for love of Krishna is the devotee, because he carries Krishna within his heart, or her heart. And so we stay close to devotees, and we're deathly afraid of offending devotees because they're so dear to Krishna. We have to follow Shastra. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that even if one of my devotees commits a worldly act, sudarachara means apparently a really abominable thing, but is still engaged in devotional service, they have that quality, that one quality which is all important, which is they have determination that Krishna is God, and somehow or other again, I'm going to worship him, even if they're doing it imperfectly. You have to consider that person saintly. That's how dear the devotees are to Krishna. He says it boldly, that Tripam bhavati dharmatma shashvash chantam nagachati kaunteya pratijanihi nami bhakti pranashati. That, you know, he'll quickly attain perfection, and he's exalting his devotees. So remembering Rupa Goswami and Shivananda Sen and the Goswamis, we actually get their association, and we can advance in devotional service. Om Tat Sat. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Ajastra smara smara re ki jai. Gopremanande Haribo.
Our last conversation was
you. I did put them in order. So
thank you very much.
I didn't get it.
You talked to me. I said, well, just let me know what you plan on doing. If you were trying to figure out what you were
doing.
Yeah,
then I wrote an email and I said, here's the plan.
Oh, I didn't get it.
You didn't get that.
I may have got it. I didn't need it. Sorry about that.
Yeah. We can talk about it.
Okay.
I was having to run errands during the class, so I didn't catch where you left off.